Here we come to another fascinating verse, my friends, that can have the very opposite meaning from what you think it does. Let's look at it. Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to the gospel, the good news. Let it seep into your mind, my friend, and displace all the darkness. This is the only hope we have to be healthy, to be productive, to be able to do something in this world. Now, we have one of these verses that is so rich and beautiful and yet so potentially misunderstood. It's verse 14 of chapter 13 of Romans. Now look, remember, this is all talking about the love that we now have for the world, the way we care for a neighbor, the way we reach out to our enemy, the way we bless the world. In the light of God's mercies, we are called upon, Paul says here in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, my friend, I always have in mind the person who is struggling, the person who has a compulsive habit or obsessive thoughts, who has an addiction to drugs or alcohol or food issues or heterosexual or homosexual addiction or gambling addiction, or worry and anxiety and panic attacks. All of these things are addictive, and we cannot always understand where they come from. They seem to pounce on us from the outside. And to hear a verse like verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, seems terribly, painfully simplistic. I remember in my years ago in college days, when I was more of a perfectionist and legalist, I used to get, as I think you've heard me say, I used to get very irritated and angry with Paul. I never expressed that irritation and anger overtly because I was simply too much of a perfectionist to want to admit that I was angry with the scriptures. But I was frustrated that no explanation seemed to be given as to how to do this. To me, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ was a very existential and experiential thing. That is to say, okay, I suppose I have to put him on by getting up at 4 in the morning and reading the Word for a couple of hours and meditating, learning how to pray more earnestly and more full of faith. I need to put on Christ by learning how to avoid this and that temptation, how to go to the right places and not the wrong places. I need to put on Christ by learning how to say no to a strong desire. But how do I say no at the very moment that desire is upon me? And on, I would seek to find out the sort of psychological details or the behavioral details of how to put on Christ. Yes, I hear some of you saying, Colin, you were really screwed up, weren't you? Yes, I was. And I'm not far from screwed up today on many occasions. But I do know this, my friends, that putting on Christ Jesus is not complicated. It is not what I thought it was in my perfectionistic and legalistic days. You surely know what it means already, don't you? If you've been listening to this broadcast long enough, you know what Paul's on about. It is not simplicity or a simplistic statement by Paul. It is a statement of faith, a phrase stating faith fully consistent with all that Paul has talked about before. All right, so think of it this way. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put something on. Well, that suggests clothing, doesn't it? That suggests robing yourself, putting something on over your shoulders and over your body, covering yourself. All right, yes. But what does that mean? Well, Paul has revealed to us in this book, especially chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, that we in Christ are no longer abandoned. In Christ we are no longer sinners. Abandonment is chapter 5. Sinners, chapter 6. In Christ we are no longer condemned. We are righteous. That's chapter 7. And in Christ we are no longer under the power of death. We're under his resurrection. In his resurrection. That's chapter 8. In other words, Jesus Christ, God's Son, was brought to the world to do everything that man failed to do, that mankind failed to do. Jesus Christ did everything for man as man's substitute and representative. In Christ we are saved, not in ourselves. In Christ we are successful, not in ourselves. In Christ we are reconciled to the heart of the Father, not in ourselves. In Christ we are freed from sin, not in ourselves. In Christ we are righteous, not righteous in ourselves. In Christ we are resurrected, not resurrected by our power or in ourselves. And so, you see, as some man once said to me years ago, in a life I never lived, and in a death I never died. No, I think he said it the other way around. In a death I never died, in a life I never lived, I base my whole eternity. That means that I can put on Christ in a moment. This is a faith command. This is a faith statement. This is not a process of slow, laborious, tedious sanctification where I fast for days, get up early in the morning at 4 a.m. and read for 2 or 3 hours. This is not a process that belongs to Buddhism or asceticism. This is a faith life. I am to put on Christ. Notice in verse 13 where Paul says, let us walk properly. He says, as in the day. Now look, we have a struggle walking properly as it is. But boy, what a burden if we try to walk properly, that is to live an orderly life, in the night. You remember chapter 13, verse 11, where he says, and do this knowing that the time that now it is time to awake out of sleep, verse 12, the night is far spent. What's he talking about there? The night of the world, this broken down, fallen death planet. It is a night. Everything that goes on, all the hustle and bustle and the activities and dreams and goals and aspirations of this world are just a night. The day isn't here yet. It's at hand, but it's not here yet. And Paul, therefore, says, let's walk as if it were here, as in the day, because we are counted in the resurrection of Christ. We're counted reconciled to the Father in Christ. Christ did it for me. And so I am to put him on. Think of that. Put him on. I mean, just think, if you've gone through a day or an hour or a week or a month of darkness, emotional darkness, depressed all day, sorrowful, sad, feeling guilty, feeling ashamed that you cannot pull a day off properly, you cannot pull yourself together. If you've had all that going on for weeks now or days, and you suddenly realize, I can put Christ on right now. And that may mean for you, Father, now that I've put Christ on, I wear him as a garment. He is my righteousness, my cloak of righteousness. I thank you that I'm reconciled to you. I'm not in the dark anymore. I'm not isolated and alone and abandoned. I thank you that in Jesus, Father, all the sins that I have that are surrounding me today, that I'm still doing, that I'm that I'm just captivated by, they no longer condemn me. They no longer judge me or declare my punishment. I am freed from the powers of sin in Christ. I don't feel free in them myself, dear Lord, and I don't know what I'll do tomorrow with my habit, but I know today, or I know even today in the midst of my habit, that my habit is no longer worn by me. For that humanity that I live in is dead at the cross. I've died to sin. I'm alive to Christ. I put Christ on, and in him there is no sin and death. Or I'm feeling condemned. I can't pull my day together. I've got so much to do that I haven't done. I've procrastinated so long that I'm afraid. All of these possibilities are crowding into your mind, and you put on Christ. Lord, I am righteous in you. You delight in me. You say of me, as you said of Christ, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, my beloved Son. I thank you, dear Father, for the freedom that I have in him to be righteous, to be counted as righteous. And then the power of death. All that's gone on in the last few days or weeks or months, and you felt just a death-like spirit, you've sighed inside your heart, you just feel like an abandoned soul. The sighing is so heavy that your physical heart and chest ache. Imagine that, my friends. You've experienced that, surely. And yet you are now free to say, I have put on Christ. I am resurrected. None of what I am going through has any power. I reject all negative thoughts. I reject all condemnation and fear. This is putting on Christ, you see. And you see, my friend, when we put on Christ, in the context of Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, then we can begin to love. We have an energy that reemerges, and we have thoughts of those who need what we have found. Someone once wrote, in the midst of life, we are in death. But Paul, you know, my friends, could have written, in the midst of death, we are in life, because Romans chapter 8 reveals the glorious news that through Christ's resurrection, the power of the world of death has been broken for us. And we believers now live by faith in his resurrected life. Now, believing this in all the turmoils, troubles, and trials of life is a process of counseling ourselves daily in the good news. It has a wonderful renewing effect upon the mind. To work through this chapter, Romans chapter 8, is a therapeutic process of seeing the invisible, just as Jesus did. It's a process of reevaluating what is really happening to us and giving it a more measured priority. It's a process of stepping out of fear into peace. Well, that's what we're going to do at the seminar on the 28th of July, my friends, at La Quinta Inn, how to counsel yourself through Romans chapter 8 and avoiding the pitfalls. There are pitfalls. If you have the New Living Bible, please bring it, because it is disastrous in chapter 8. And we will use that translation, the New Living Bible, to contrast it with a more conservative Bible to be able to see the truth. So I hope you'll join me on Saturday the 28th at 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. Admission is free, so don't worry. And donations are welcome, but purely optional. Oh, and the location? Yes, of course, La Quinta Inn, which is 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. That's the south frontage road of West Hampden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. So see you there, my friends, and see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.